Hey guys, so are you scrambling for what to do when your students' behaviors gets out of control? Do you have things in place so you know exactly what to do? Well, this is what we're going to go over today in this episode. But before we get started, I apologize for my nasally voice as I am fighting a cold. But I will do my best to share the best that I can with you. A reminder too to please leave me a review wherever you're listening. Hit that 5 stars. I would love to hear from you. Also, sign up for the weekly newsletter, where the more knowledge you get, the more equipped you will become in handling your students' behavior. The link will be in the show notes. Welcome to Behavior Strategies for Class. I am Diane Bachman, your behavior paraprofessional with over 15 years of experience working in special education. And I'm so glad you're here because I'll be teaching you about social emotional learning, behavior strategies, trauma-informed care, and more. So if you are tired of being frustrated and not knowing what to do with your students who have challenging and disruptive behavior, you're in the right place. Now, if you're ready to become more equipped to help your students learn and grow, let's listen in to today's episode. So we do have a lot of behavior strategies in place in our behavior program. So we know if we have a student who is refusing, we're really just going to wait them out. If we have a student eloping, of course, we're going to follow them and get them back to class as quickly as we can. Other times when students are dysregulated and they're throwing things, tearing things, same thing, we're going to wait them out. But in all cases, we hold them to their expectations. So those who left the classroom, your expectation is to get back in class. You know, those who are still refusing, like your work is still going to be here. Whether you wait 5 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, like it's still going to be here and it's still going to need to get done. I mean, same thing after they have escalated, torn things apart, dumped over chairs, and now they are back and ready to engage. You know, the expectation is they clean up their work or clean up their mess and then get back to the work that they were expected to do. So in all situations, the thing that is the same is that we hold them to their expectation, whatever it is. And sometimes it's waiting longer than others. Sometimes we try and encourage with some positive reinforcement. Sometimes it's reminding of the consequences, you know, and other times it's just sitting. It's not engaging. We're not talking at all. And so I think it's through experience that you learn when you're talking too much to a student, especially when they're avoiding and they're refusing to do their work. Of course, they want to have a conversation with you about anything else except for work. And our job, of course, is to get them back to work, back in class, back to learning. And if we continue to, you know, have this conversation and they just sometimes get more escalated, we have to learn how to de-escalate ourselves and not engage with them when they're in that position. And so we know pretty much now when this behavior happens, this is the strategy we use. Say, you know, whatever it is. And of course, sometimes we have to come back together as a team and go over and collaborate. Well, that didn't work this time. Maybe we need to try this. Or maybe it's a little bit of each of those strategies that we use. I think it also depends on your student and how well you know your student and what is going to work for them. So instead of being reactive, you want to be proactive. You want to be in the moment. You want to have all those tools ready for you for when that student gets dysregulated, gets disruptive in your classroom. And number one, I would say, is setting those high expectations for everyone in your class, all of those who are capable. And you will know who is capable, and just holding to those. Because like I said, that this is the only way that they continue to grow and stretch as we challenge them, because ultimately, majority of students can reach those high expectations. And yes, sometimes it'll take longer and sometimes maybe more support, but we will do our best to help them get to those expectations that you have in your class. Another way you can be proactive is by teaching and modeling those positive behaviors. Like I've talked before about role playing and displaying for them, what does it look like in your class? Like, what does it look like to work as a team when you have 3-4 kids working together? Is there somebody who's a lead, and what does that look like? Or how to apologize, you know? What does that look like? Being empathetic. You know, whatever those positive behaviors you want in your class, do your students really know what that means? Like, be good. Obviously, that is a very general statement. We need to learn to be more specific so that students truly understand exactly what is expected of them. So be specific and model those positive behaviors that you want in your class. And then third, have that positive reinforcement. And of course, that can look a million different ways. So what works for your class? Is it a behavior chart for everybody in your class? Is it a goal that maybe your class is working towards for the end of the week to have a, you know, fun Friday? And that could be an extra recess or maybe a magic school bus video. You know, I don't know. What is it that works for your class? Maybe some hot chocolate. I've seen some classes do that at their lunchtime. You know, what is something fun that your students can work towards for a positive reinforcement? And that could be also even just walking around giving a high five to your students. We have pride stamps for our students when they're doing a great job. And they put those on their card. And then once that card is full, then they can go to the pride cart and, you know, pick out prizes there. So what works for your class that you are positively reinforcing the behaviors that you want in your classroom that will help your students grow and succeed? And then number four is having a goal sheet or having a behavior. Sometimes, you know, individual students have behavior charts, or we call them point sheets, and they have on there a few goals that they need to work on, and they work on them throughout the day. You know, it's using their words instead of their hands, or, you know, being able to ask a friend for help. Whatever it is, what are your students working towards? And again, like I said, this could be a whole class behavior goal. You know, how can we learn to get along better? Or how can we learn to be more empathetic towards each other? You know, it doesn't have to be just those challenging students. And granted, your challenging students may have even more specific goals that need to be made according to their IEP. And that is something that they can work on as well. But I think it's also a great idea to get your whole class involved, because obviously we can all be better students, be better educators. We can all learn to be nicer, learn to be more encouraging, learn to support each other even better. And so, like I said, I don't feel like this always has to be just towards your challenging students, even though, of course, those are the ones who really need it the most. But when they see that everybody has things to work on, not only themselves, but that everybody can improve. Everybody can be learning. And I think it just encourages them and supports them in a different level as well. So being proactive and having these things in place will help you be better prepared for when those behaviors pop up in your classroom. And granted, you, as you get to know your students, you're going to know what behaviors are probably going to be coming. Or you're going to notice that one student getting a little more antsy in their seat. And so you could come over right away and be like, are you ready for a break? Do you need to go sit in the quiet corner or the calm corner? Or, you know, do you need to talk to a social worker? Whoever it is. As you get to know your students, you will see their behaviors change. Like I said, their bodies get restless. You know, you can tell when they're starting to be agitated. And to be proactive and come in and give them those choices so that they can use their voice is powerful. And it only puts you in a much better place because you're not scrambling, running around in a panic. You already are prepared and you are already there to help that student. And so, four ways, again, that you can be proactive with your behavior strategies is setting those high expectations for your students, holding them to them, teaching or modeling the positive behaviors that you want in your classroom. Number three, having that positive reinforcement. Whatever that looks like for you in your class and what you think is best for your students. And then number four, if you have behavior charts or a behavior goal sheet or a class behavior goal for the day or for the week, whatever it is, giving them something to work towards and letting them see that they can achieve it. They can be successful. And so, I just want to encourage you also to keep doing what you're doing. All of your hard work is paying off and your students appreciate you and your students need you. And so I want to also remind you to sign up for the weekly newsletter and check the link in the show notes. Because we know as educators, we are continually learning as well. And the more knowledge we have, the more equipped we are to be our best for our students. So thanks so much, and I will see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you.